Wanted to make sure that we had enough time this morning for the lesson. I want to tell you that I enjoyed greatly the study of this message. It was a real delight. The Lord is good. I'll tell you, the Lord is good. And it's studies like I enjoyed this week. It kind of remind me of having more fudge than I can eat. And that's just about a thimbleful now. But anyway, fudge is good, and you just sometimes you just got to have a lot of it to enjoy it. But boy, when you have had enough, you've had enough. But anyway, this has just really been a joy to study this. We've been studying in Hebrews chapter 11. We've been studying the cloud of witnesses who live by faith. And they witness to us that living by faith is a good thing, because by it they please God. And so can we. And Rahab is one who lived by faith. In Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." When I was thinking about the fact that she perished not with them that believed not, I know that they were talking about those who lived in Jericho, but I also reflected on the fact that there were those that came out of Egypt that believed not, that also perished in the wilderness, because they were not willing to live by faith. They were not willing to forget Egypt, and they were not willing to forget the lust of their flesh. They did not get victory over their desires, their lust, their fleshly desires. I remind you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that all these things happen unto them, that is, the nation of Israel, for in samples, or types, or pictures, and they are written for our admonition, or rebuke, or warning, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And we're living in the end of the ages, and the study of the Old Testament saints is a study to help us and to rebuke us and to warn us so that we will do the right thing. And the right thing is whatever they did, you don't do it. and that's the reason why we're studying them. We don't want to, of course, we're studying those who did the right thing, but it's the people that did the wrong thing that will help us to be careful. When we study the events that happened in the wilderness and going into the land of Canaan, because we know that Rahab lived in Jericho, which was the land of Canaan, we see that Moses passed away, and Moses is the epitome of the law. We know in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the wilderness it was the law, but in Canaan it's grace and truth. It's different. And we will see it unfold as we study this morning. I look at Canaan, the warfare in Canaan, as the time in which we are living right now. We're fighting spiritual battles in heavenly places. Our enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. And we notice that when the children of Israel came through the Jordan River, it was a new beginning for them. Gilgal was a new beginning. And there was a change of command. In Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Moses put his hand on Joshua, and the so-called transfer of powers took place. It was no longer Moses, it was Joshua. Joshua was in charge. Not only was there a change of command, but there was also a change in the priesthood. We've looked at some of this last Sunday, but I'm reviewing it this morning because of the significance. I want to emphasize this. In Deuteronomy 10:6, it says, Aaron died and Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. In other words, they had the Aaronic priesthood, so to speak, in the wilderness, and there was a change of priesthood, just like we have a change of priesthood today. We're not living under the Aaronic priesthood, we're living under the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And so we have Eleazar, a type or a picture of the high priest that would minister during the children of Israel's conquest of Canaan. In Numbers 34, in verse 17, it says, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. Eleazar was the one who was going to divide, along with Joshua, divide the land which was their inheritance among the tribes of Israel. Remember that Moses gave 2.5 tribes their inheritance where? In the wilderness. Half the tribe of Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad. Their inheritance had already been established under the law. It was close to the land flowing with milk and honey, but it was not in the land flowing with milk and honey. It was not the best inheritance. That's the point. But Eleazar was going, and Joshua were going to divide the land flowing with milk and honey with the rest of the tribes of Israel. In Hebrews 9:11, it says that Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, Eleazar was a minister of good things that were coming in the land. Not only was there a change in the priesthood, there had to be a change in the law. And in Hebrews 7:12, it says, For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also in the law. That happened when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan. The law was changed. And first of all, in Joshua 6, verse 4, it says, the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. What had Moses told the children of Israel to do on the seventh day? Stay home. Stay in. Don't do any work. What are they doing? Walking around the city of Jericho on a day of rest. The simple fact is that the Sabbath was no longer being practiced or was not in vogue, particularly that, at least that day. And there are no other days mentioned about the Sabbath. In other words, this is the only reference to the Sabbath that is mentioned. And so therefore the Sabbath was set aside. Jesus, when His ministry was here, He said, I'm the Lord of what? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. If I want to heal on the Sabbath, which is work, I can do it. If I want to do a little harvesting of grain, and that's what the apostles and the disciples were doing when they were walking through a field, they were reaching out and taking the wheat and crunching it in their hands, and eating the kernels. They were harvesting. You know, not a big harvest, but they were working on the Sabbath. Okay? Not only was the Sabbath set aside, but the tabernacle services were suspended. I didn't realize this. In Joshua chapter 18, verse 1, it says, And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together in Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. When was the tabernacle set up? And they started going to the tabernacle for worship? After the land was subdued. So there was no ceremonial law being practiced when? While they were fighting the enemy. Now, did they worship while they were fighting the enemy? Yes, they did. If you look in Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, it says, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal, an altar of whole stones. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings." They did worship the Lord. How were they worshiping the Lord? They were worshiping the Lord the way that Abraham worshiped the Lord. Abraham did not go to a tabernacle. There was no brazen altar. There were no priests to intercede on the behalf of Abraham. And here we find the same thing happening. While the children of Israel were in the warfare, they were worshiping God like not only Abraham, but also Adam and Eve and all of those and all of their descendants, Enoch and so forth. They worshiped God by offering animal sacrifices on stones. Now, Rahab was a harlot. And it's amazing. This lady has never been able to shake that title. I mean, she did some good things, and we know that she was justified, but yet she's still Rahab the harlot. You know what that reminds me of? You know, we can sink pretty low and still have God's blessing upon us if we will do what Rahab did. That's encouraging to me. We can sink pretty low. Our values can be pretty lousy, and yet we can get back with the Lord and live an acceptable life with Him. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." I looked up the word lodge. That's a very kind way of putting it. They were involved sexually with this woman. This is the same word that is used in Lot and his daughters. It's used both ways, okay? But anyway, she was in business, and they went to a place where they would be inconspicuous, to a brothel. A lot of men go in there, so they went there. Anyway, they went to this house. Something very interesting we notice in Hebrews chapter 11, of course we know that Rahab is there, but there are only two women that are mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and that's Sarah and Rahab. The only two women. In Hebrews 11:11 it says, "By faith," or through faith, "also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age." So there are only two women. And the reason I'm including this is this. Rahab lived like Abraham lived, without the ceremonial law and without the law of Moses, basically speaking. And so did Sarah. Sarah lived in the time of Abraham, which was without the ceremonial law and the law of Moses. But yet we see that even Rahab had to lie. You know, that has bothered me, that Rahab had to lie to protect those spies. In Joshua 2, verse 4, "And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' Then I was..." A verse that I really use a lot in my prayer life is Psalms 25. And something popped out at me in this psalm when I was thinking about Rahab being a liar. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which" what? transgress without cause. She transgressed with a cause. There are times when you do lie to protect life. I know that when during the Nazi campaign, there was a lot of lying going on. You sure wouldn't tell them, oh yeah, they're hiding in that closet over there. You wouldn't do that. But this verse of Scripture helped me to see that there is a time when you can transgress without cause to do what? To keep your enemy from triumphing over you. Okay, I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, some people think, well, here's Rahab and she's lying. How can we justify that? Well, she lied with a cause. Then we find that Rahab believed. I believe that Rahab was saved a long time before the spies got to her house. In Joshua 2:9 through 11, it says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Isn't that something? I know that God's going to give you this land. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Rahab was a believer. She was saved. And she talked about the Lord. I know the Lord's going to give you this land. And so we see Abraham, Rahab was a believer. In Hebrews 3:19, it says, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Rahab was one who believed. And then in Hebrews 4:2, Rahab had faith. Those who did not believe and did not enter into the land flowing with milk and honey did not have faith. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Rahab had mixed what she had heard with faith, believing that God was going to give them that land. The people who came out of Egypt, they didn't believe God was going to give them that land. Why, we look like grasshoppers. We can't take it. That's what 10 of the spies said. Joshua and Caleb says, oh yes, we can. And you know what happens when you have a democratic system? The majority wins and the rest lose. 40 years. Wow. So, Rahab was a lady of faith, already saved. In verse 10, we see this continuing. For we have heard how the Lord, that's personal, boy. We know that the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And she continues, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts melted. Did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Where was her confidence? Her confidence was in the God of heaven and the earth beneath. She was a believer. And your God is God. And I believe it was her God as well. Now, Rahab was going to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. And what did God have promised to Abraham? Those who bless you, what am I going to do? I'm going to bless them. Those who curse you, I'm going to curse them. That's in Genesis 12:3. And here we find Rahab being a blessing to Israel. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. I need a true token. I want something to assure us that we're going to enjoy the blessings of this good land. And they gave him a good token. Well, first of all, she refers to life for their life in the good land in verses 14 and 15. And the men answered her, "Our life for your life, if ye utter not our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you," or with thee. Life in the good land. That's what Rahab wanted. She wanted to enter the kingdom. She wanted to enjoy the blessings that she knew were going to be the nation of Israel. And they gave her a token that is significant. In verse 18 it says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home with thee." What is the significance of a scarlet thread? Now number 20 thread? This was a rope. And it was long enough to reach the ground. And it was a reminder to Rahab and her family. Now, what is the significance of the red or the scarlet thread? Well, there's an incident that happened
there's an incident that happened in Genesis 38, but let me just read verse 21 first,
because we find Rahab's faith here. And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Every time she looked out of the window, and she lived on the wall, she saw the scarlet thread. She did not want to forget the significance of that rope. And let me say this, if you live on the wall of a city, you're going to look out. If you're taking a cruise on a vacation liner, where is the best and most expensive suites? On the outside of the ship, where there's a porthole, so you can look out. And because people want to look out. If you got the cheap seats or the cheap place, you can't look out. You're in a box. And you can't look out. Every time that Rahab looked out the window, she saw that scarlet thread. Now, the significance of that scarlet thread is found in Genesis 38:28. Insignificant little incident that happened in the life of Tamar, who also played the harlot, by the way. I'm just thinking about that. She played the harlot so she could get pregnant. Now, that's an interesting little twist. Anyway, and it says, "And it came to pass when she," that is Tamar, "travailed," that is in birth, "that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread." Now, don't think that this was the same size rope that they let down the spies with. But what the midwife was doing was putting a thread around the hand of the firstborn. So that when the children were to come out, they were twins, then they would know who was to get the birthright's blessing. And so by giving Rahab the scarlet thread and her continual looking at that thread, she was anticipating the blessing of what? The firstborn. What does that mean? A double portion. Positions of honor in the kingdom or in the family. And in type and in picture in the kingdom. And also the blessing. So that's the significance of the scarlet thread in the window. It reminded Rahab and her family the future blessings, the good things that were coming for them.
because they knew that the good things were coming for the nation of Israel. And they were a blessing to the nation of Israel, and they were anticipating being blessed by God as well. Now, this is significant. Rahab was not a member of any tribe. She became a member of a tribe, but she was a Gentile. And Gentiles had no promised inheritance in the wilderness or in the land of Canaan. Rahab was a Gentile. You find that out in Joshua 6:23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother and her brother and all that she had, and they brought them out, brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Why did they put them outside the camp? Well, that wasn't very hospitable, was it? You can come in the back door. Anyway, they put them outside the camp because they were unclean. That's where Gentiles were in essence when they were unclean. In fact, we know that in the New Testament they spoke of Gentiles as what? Dogs. Dogs. Did you know that Caleb, one of the spies that went into the land, was probably a Gentile? Caleb. His name means in the Hebrew tongue, dog. Caleb was a dog. That's just simply prophecy saying that God was going to include Gentiles. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. And here we find Rahab gaining the blessings of the land flowing with milk and honey, which is a type and picture of the kingdom of the heavens. Now, it's interesting. Caleb, being a man, his descendants were among the tribes in which he dwelt. But you know what? Rahab was a woman, and she married into the tribe of Judah. They had a different relationship and inheritance. Rahab was guaranteed land in the land flowing with milk and honey. And because of Caleb, his inheritance was among the tribe. We'll look at it in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, it says, Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, a Gentile, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, a Moabite woman, a Moabitess woman. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Isn't that something? Here is this harlot that has no hope without being a blessing to Israel. And here she is, the great, great, whatever, grandmother of David, a man after God's own heart. She is part of the tribe of Judah. Where in Joshua 15:13 it says, And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah. He just got up. In fact, his part was out in the fields, out yonder. Where was Rahab's heritage? In the palace. The king. She was in the tribe of Judah, married. Now, it's interesting to note in James chapter 2, of all those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, there's only two that are justified. Only two. Obviously, we can say that all of them who live by faith were justified, but the Scriptures only mention two that were justified. And that is found in James chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works, that is, the works of faith, because this is what we're talking about, works of faith, a man is justified. And this isn't salvation. This has to do with approval.
This has to do with being qualified to enter into the inheritance of those who live by faith, which we've been reading about in Hebrews 11. And not by faith only, or apart from works. In other words, you can say, oh, I have faith, and you don't do anything, what good is it? Doesn't do any good. It's fruitless. It doesn't profit you. Okay, let's go on. We see in Acts chapter 13, verse 39, and by him all that believe in the present tense are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Notice that justification does not come by the law of Moses. Was Abraham under the law of Moses? No. Was Rahab under the law of Moses? No. Isn't that neat? Man, I tell you, I love that. That's good stuff, isn't it? The Scriptures are true. And it's refreshing. Because it goes on to say in Luke, or in verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works of faith? When did that happen? When she sent the messengers out another way. That's when it happened. She sent the messengers out another way. She saved her life. Rahab was blessed with faithful Abraham. And the Scripture in Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel of the kingdom of the inheritance unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with whom? Faithful Abraham. And Rahab was blessed with faithful Abraham. Not because of the law, not the ceremonial law, but because she believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, what does that mean? Well, in Matthew 21, verse 43, it says, therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you Jews, Israel, and given to a nation, Gentiles, that will produce the fruits thereof. The fruits of faith. He will give the kingdom to those that were not a people. And with this I close. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is talking about Gentiles. I am so thankful that God included me. Aren't you? Aren't you? And that He makes it plain in His Word how you can stand approved in His presence. You got to live by faith. You got to please God. And bowing down and standing up and offering smoky incense and all that stuff, that doesn't please God. It's believing that He is in charge of my life and nothing can happen to me without His permission, and that I want to stand approved in His presence. I'm going to live like I trust Him. Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word. It's so rich. It's so wonderful to read. And Lord, it stirs our hearts to see how You work things out and how You presented them beautifully. If we just take time to see it. How You presented it so beautifully in the life of Abraham, in the life of Rahab. People who didn't deserve the blessings that Rahab enjoyed because she was willing to buck the city and the powers that be and the influence of friends to be counted with a people that would enjoy the blessings of the land. We thank You for Your Word this morning.
bless it to each of our hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.